You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're listening to the Cooligans. This in this episode, in the first segment, we are talking about Super Bowl party. Can you wear a soccer shirt to a Super Bowl party? That's a different football. Are people going to be upset? Probably, because they really don't understand what soccer is. We also talk about Christian Polanco being really mean to people on the internet. That's just how he is. He can't change his ways.
Second segment, I'm defending myself from that last statement. We also talk Liverpool protest leaving a match in the 77th minute and causing a draw and obviously affecting all the Liverpool players emotionally. We also talk the Kurt Zouma injury. You can only watch it once, and if you watch it more than that, it is pornography. After that, we are talking about Timmy Howard possibly going back to the MLS. We're going to miss him at Everton. I hope he doesn't go, but it looks like he might.
Segment number three, we really do assert that Christian is the mean one of the group. We talk about Neymar and the Taco Bell Quesalupa, not a sponsor, Super Bowl commercial. We talk about the new Qatari World Cup courts. Jermaine Defoe has his head up his ass and thinks that Sunderland can be the new Leicester. Club signs a right back over LinkedIn, and French League is really, really tight right now, but they don't think it's interesting, and I do, and I defend that position.
That's all today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Fun weekend.
Fun weekend.
Super Bowl happened, but we're not here to talk about
Super Bowl happened. This episode is about the Super Bowl.
We're just talking about the Super Bowl.
Just about Cam Newton's smile.
Yeah, or lack thereof, if you watched.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about the whole time? I was thinking about how them and Lester have sort of bonded.
That's right.
And oh boy, Lester was like, take them jerseys off, everyone stop dabbing,
get this dirty jersey off.
Oh my god,
this is gonna cause this bad luck,
bunch of losers.
Yeah.
This is nothing like our season.
Great, you know, but good on the Panthers. I mean, they had a dream season. They won six games last season with one tie. It was a very odd season, and they were dominant, but they got outmatched. It was just quite a boring Super Bowl.
Well, all right, so I posed this question. I watched with two other comics and all of our ladies, and the ladies could not give a damn about our conversation, about whether we were talking about football, comedy, or what was happening on the TV. They could not care less.
Yeah.
They were talking about whatever the hell they wanted to talk about. But I posed this question. There was four units, right? One defensive, one offensive for each team. Four units that were going to take the field that day. Very different from soccer. Mm-hmm. What was the best unit? And we all came to an agreement that the Broncos defense...
six, technically, because special teams.
I mean, they don't... Yeah, I mean, yes. Okay, fine.
Which did have an effect on
but them. But they're not so good that they're like, forget our offensive defense. I mean, just try to
but
kick
yes,
off to
I know,
us.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, which has happened in the past. I remember the Chiefs were like that when they had... What was that? The guy who did the X with his hands. Anyway.
Wolverine,
yes. It's exactly right. Which already, as you could tell, an advantage. You know, for everyone listening to this podcast who doesn't watch American football, they're like, they had Wolverine? Well, that's just not fair. I agree with you. No, they had... The Broncos defense was the best one, so we're like, well, then the Broncos are going to win. That's how I view American football.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can't do that in soccer. You know what I almost did? Arsenal won that morning. Mm-hmm. Right, I watched Arsenal beat up on Bournemouth. Right, first time we ever went to Bournemouth, and we won. And it was also Oxlade-Chamberlain's first away goal ever in the Premier League,
which is very surprising. You would think,
right? Doesn't it seem like he's much more successful than we give him so much more credit than he deserves?
Is it because he is injured often? I haven't really followed his career that closely.
He's one of those guys that I think came up a little early. So right now his career is sort of leveling off a bit.
Okay,
and then I think with the competition with Joel Campbell, it's going to come right back up. You know, he seems to be playing a lot better, as you can tell by scoring a goal. But I almost wore an Arsenal jersey to my buddy's place to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Is it? I mean, there's literally nothing wrong with it.
Right. But is it gauche is what I'm saying? You know, is it?
I mean, are a bunch of American football fans going to make fun of you for wearing a bunch of comedian American football fans?
Right. Look, I walked in.
Obviously.
I walked in and Giannis was wearing a very tight zip up. And I'm like, all right, would you borrow your girl's Lululemon's? I mean, as soon as I walked in, that's how I said hello. So I know they would do the same to me and I would expect it. But is it okay? Would you be cool with that?
I would personally be cool with it, but just because I'm an open-minded and kind individual.
Right, but still, doesn't it seem a bit much? Seems a bit much.
We are in the comedy community, and for people who don't know what the comedy community is like so this sort of happens where like fans of comedians they see how comedians talk to each other, and they're like, oh, they're dicks to each other. Now we can make fun, and it's like, No, you
don't get that.
You don't get to do that because you're not in the trenches with me every day.
Right.
I really know what it's like. So that's sort of the environment. When there's a bunch of comedians around each other, you cannot be sensitive.
No. And there's if you've done something, if you messed up in any way, shape, or form, there's no sense in trying to hide what just happened.
Exactly.
You literally need to marinate in a mistake you just made because it is going to come back to you.
And you will be reminded about it.
Yeah, throughout the day. Throughout the day. There's nothing you can do.
So that's sort of what it's like. There's love behind every sort of mean-spirited kind of joke.
100%. You would not be roasted if you were not loved.
And it's a difficult thing to explain to people who are not comedians because they think we're just being mean to each other.
Or it's difficult to explain to people that are non-comedians that are watching it happen.
Yeah.
Like significant others are like, whoa, they're really ripping apart your mole.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. But there's this instinct that sort of comes up where the longer you've been doing comedy, you have like these reflexes that are like, you can just fight back and get like a sharp, witty comment back.
Right.
And it's a thing you have to learn to not turn on in every facet of your life.
Everywhere else.
You can be at family events.
You walk into the bank and you're like, whoa, you wore that shirt? And the teller's like, excuse me? The manager's like, can we speak to you outside? Why? Well, you see the shirt.
Come on. Am I being an asshole?
I think she was when she wore that shirt. Like, sir, she is retiring today.
So, yeah, we got to... Like,
she knew pictures were being taken.
Real quick thing. I got into a little bit of trouble on...
this is the best.
Playing,
preface everything by saying Polanco is like the sweetest dude in the world.
Playing fantasy football. Fantasy American football.
Right.
Right? And...
you did that this year?
I did that, yeah, this year.
I couldn't do it.
And whatever. It's like, I don't pay... I'm not like addicted to it. I play in one league and whatever. But I was playing with a bunch of friends. And one of my friends... was he likes to talk a lot of trash on the chat, right? Yeah. of the fantasy football and he was also about to have a kid and he's talking trash about people, whatever, and this is what I hate about fantasy football leagues is that it's the chat room in that fantasy football league is the most disgusting, horrible place.
It's
where
vile.
Yeah, where people are like, oh, you lost this week, you got raped by me, and I raped it, and it's constant rape over and over and over.
Every blog post ever written would be written about this for years.
Do not look in a fantasy football chat room if you are a writer at Jezebel, because you will lose your damn mind.
If you work for Salon.com, your mind will explode.
So because of the way they talk to each other, and I don't contribute in that kind of vile humor. I like good jokes. I'll make good jokes. Right. So one of my friends, he was about to have a kid.
Because by the way, God forbid, Christian gets in there and swings with the low people. He wants to hold himself up high.
But this is what they do, is because I'm the only comedian in the league, so they think, oh, this is going
to
be...
So great. They got to like one and a half times.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, he's going to make a bunch of jokes. And I'm like, but no, dude, I can't really joke around with you because you guys can't really sort of handle how sharp my humor might be.
I'm going to cut... super deep. You guys are slicing with the back end of a butter knife. I'm bringing a machete to the fight.
So one of my friends, he's about to have a kid, right? And he's talking all this junk, and then he does this thing where because the week starts on Thursday, right?
Right.
So you have one game, and he was losing badly.
Right.
He was losing badly to me. So he conceded on Thursday, even though there were still games to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
So he did that so that on Thursday you couldn't talk trash about him, because he's like, bro, but I already thought I was going to lose. Like, you can't. So it's, he's like, he's giving up so that you won't go as hard on him.
He waved the white flag.
Correct. So on Thursday, I told him, like, dude, stop whining. It's, you know, anything could happen, especially in fantasy football. Anybody can have a huge game. So I started talking in his voice, saying like, oh, I'm already giving up or whatever. And then one of the jokes I made, a bunch of people are making jokes in his voice, and one of the jokes I made was, I'm about to have a kid, and even my unborn child thinks I'm a loser. Which is funny.
It's so funny. The hardest part of this is anyone listening right now is going, well, that's too far. But everyone here in the room is like, that's a good joke.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, it's a good joke. It's a great bit.
Oh my God. He was so mad at me.
Yeah?
Like, I mean, really mad. Like, where I had to, like, I'm not against apologizing for a joke that offended your friend.
Right.
You know, I don't like the whole culture of, like, you can't make any jokes and then the internet goes crazy.
Right.
But this was a funny joke to a friend. And right. It was literally, like, no harm done to you, really.
Yeah. You're like, you know, I really don't think your kid's going to think you're a loser. I mean,
That's what about. He hit me back with, like, yo, we don't talk about kids. Like, we know, you know, we don't. But no. Yo, you got raped. We raped you. Yeah. Rape.
Look, I'll talk about inserting myself in you without you wanting me to, but how dare you talk about my unborn child, you know? It's such a weird... It's one of those things where, like, you're almost better off not engaging in that. You know what I mean?
And that's why I'm hesitant to, like, really bring it on there, because I feel like they're... And for the most part, everyone was laughing. Everyone thought it was pretty funny, except him. But because he was about to have a kid, and then I felt bad because, like, you never know what could happen. Like, there could be complications. There was, like, then I actually did feel bad because I'm like, oh, what if he's going through something?
And then I blame you because you let the guilt get to you for a good bit. You didn't mean it that way.
I didn't mean it. But he didn't take it that way.
Your intent. Intent is all you can lean on.
And that's the point I was making with him. But he didn't really see it that way.
Right. What you did is, like, if everyone's like, hey, why don't we all make one thing for dinner? And then your friend who's like a Michelin star chef shows up. Everyone's got like, I made pot stickers. And the other one's like, oh, I made my tuna casserole. And this guy made tuna tartare. oh, big tuna tartare guy over here making us all look like idiots. It's like, well, then why did you invite me?
Exactly.
You know what my specialty is. You open the door, I'm rushing through it.
Yeah. Next season, I'm just going to go.
You need to go ham from the start.
First game.
Look at this mother right from the beginning.
But you know,
start roasting everybody.
Baby was born, gorgeous girl.
Fine, loves his dad.
All
loves her dad. Well.
Until the season starts again, she will love loving his dad.
I mean, once she can read fantasy football stats, I mean, then she will.
I will make sure she knows her dad is a goddamn punk.
You know, we've made videos. We're gonna show it to her as a child. We even made him in a cartoon so she can easily absorb them. Fault.
It's just Elmo talking about how terrible her father
Dorothy
is.
Dorothy's like, perdedor.
Oh, man.
That's so wrong. And I loved every second of it. So, in the end.
Yes.
Can you wear a soccer jersey to a Super Bowl match if your team won that morning? Kirby?
Yeah.
You're okay with it?
I have no problem with it because
don't you feel like you're... Because all three of us are known as the soccer fans in our groups, right? And everyone's like, here they go. They're going to talk about soccer again. You know, I feel like wearing that... To me, it would have felt like overkill, so I purposely didn't wear it.
Look, I understand sort of both sides of the argument. I really wouldn't have a problem with it. Also, soccer jerseys over... NFL jerseys, they're way better looking.
Way better. Although for a big guy, nothing like an NFL jersey. I mean, they're literally built to have shoulder pads underneath. You know what I mean? They're literally built to be bigger than
you. But for the most part, I would say I would wear almost in any sort of environment. Like if NFL players wore soccer jerseys going forward, I'd be like, oh, this is
great. A lot of them do. I think Odell Beckham wore a Barca jersey while he was practicing.
Okay.
Yeah, warming up, if you will.
Yeah, but he plays. Yeah, he played in college, so.
Yeah, he could have gotten men's national team.
Yeah, that's
which, by the way, men's national team, big win.
That's right.
Against Canada. And by big win, I mean it took until nearly the end.
Which is how the U.S. operates.
Ethan Finn layup. Very nice, by the way. Yeah, very nice.
I'm trying to make my puns.
I was like, more like Ethan finally.
Both good.
Yeah, both good. Yours got a little bit more love, which I'm upset about. But I like the Finn layup. But yeah, I mean, look, what bothered me was I went and watched that match at a bar that... I had to ask for them to put it on. The bar has, I believe, 56 televisions. I think that's the actual number because they list the number. So you could say, like, hey, can you change number 42 to
whatever. 56 things on television.
56 televisions
on. You have to, like, twist their arms.
And I'm like, hey, you know, our country is playing our enemies from the north.
Exactly.
So can we put that on? So they were like, yeah, sure. Took forever for them to put it on. Finally, they get the game on. And a couple drunk guys were there watching, I think, a hockey match before. And they were like, oh, America, is this live? You know, mm-hmm. is this a replay from the World Cup? And I was like, no, it's a friendly. I'm like, it's an exhibition match, but we're playing against Canada. Oh, we got to beat Canada. So they got, like, into it. And then by into it, I mean, they paid attention, like, every once in a while I was watching it. And they look up when I go, yeah! You know, like, when I freak out, they look up and realize Josie had just scored. And they're like, man, Josie's so great, dude. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, he did add it, but did you see that beautiful, perfectly placed cross by an MLS player who just came in the game? He literally just came in.
And it was a good move to create the space to take the cross.
Look, against a much better defender, you won't have that space. But what I think is important is that, one, he went right after the guy as soon as he came in. Mm-hmm. You know, he did a move to send a cross, and that cross was perfect. And I know you and I have a love-hate relationship with national team players playing in the MLS. I think most American fans do. We want all of our players to be like Pulisic and be out, you know, in making it happen in Europe and at higher levels. But there's nothing to say that the guys like Ethan Finley, and again, I don't know why Letjet wasn't a part of this camp. Guys like that can help us, and you saw it firsthand. Lee Wynn had an amazing January camp.
I didn't think he was that great in the Canada match. I thought he could have.
Yeah, no, I think he had moments in the Canada match. And again, Iceland, it was the B squad. But then again, it was our B squad as well. But I think he looked, you know, here's what. All we need from that, you know, from that position, like whoever sits in zone 14, like he's going to do, all you need is someone who's willing to attack, you know, someone who's willing to go run at defenders and send right, you know, progressive through balls. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, progressive through balls.
I mean, what I took more from the match wasn't how the U.S. played. I focused more on how bad Canada looked. I thought they looked bad.
Okay. I don't know. You start minimizing what we did.
I don't know much about the Canadian national team, but I don't know. They just weren't. They were really unimpressive.
I mean, they don't have a lot of great players. First of all, two man buns. You're not allowed to have two man buns on the pitch at the same time. You're over your man bun quota by two, actually. So let's get some of that haircut, buddy. But yeah, I mean, look, they're getting better. And like I think Alexi Lala said it, and I have to agree, we need a good Canada in order for us to be better.
I agree, yeah.
Like, we need to have better competition. You know, one of the big things about Centenario, which is coming up this year, mm-hmm. one of the big benefits of that is that, you know, now we're going to be able to play against much higher level of competition, which, you know, teams in Europe get. And for a lot of people, like, oh, well, that's hard. Well, no, it kind of makes you have to develop faster, you know, and it gives you something to shoot for. So we need that, and we're going to start getting that, which is kind of fun.
All right. Well, there was also a bunch of Premier League matches.
Right. We talked about Arsenal winning.
Arsenal won.
Everton, big win.
Big win.
Big win.
Two wins in a row. I'm not used to this. This kind of streak. Once a decade? I don't know.
Two wins in a row. How about this? And a clean sheet.
Oh, my God. It's kind of...
I mean, defensive woes be gone, right? I mean, this is it. This is the beginning of the season for you guys now.
There's a... Yeah, we're like... What are we in? Seventh? Eighth?
Yeah. Eighth? I think... Can you hop United, do you think?
I doubt it. Eighth spot. It's not possible. We're 6 points back of United from fifth place.
I want to say that doesn't look good, but Arsenal's 5 points behind Leicester, and I want to believe that that's possible.
Yeah.
You dare laugh at me.
No, it is.
It's so hard to even say those words.
Obviously, the match, Leicester played Man City. Leicester won 3-1. I think that was the match of the week, or the match that everyone was like, this is going to determine whether we think Leicester could actually do this.
I disagree. I think it's next week. Arsenal.
Okay,
plays
so
them. If Arsenal beats them, we're 2 points away.
Yes.
And now begins whether Leicester can hold on. If Leicester...
2 points first.
Yeah. If Leicester wins...
I think it's over.
It's over for Arsenal. I mean, then all that's left is trying to hopscotch Tottenham. These are two things I'm not very comfortable talking about.
This is very,
Leicester being on top and Tottenham being
Tottenham
above us.
Tottenham is in second place.
They look unbeatable. I mean, they don't look like they can beat you. They look like they're tough to beat.
Yeah, exactly.
And Leicester is the other way. By the way, you know Leicester has the worst pass completion in the league?
Yeah, I was talking to someone about. I'm going to pull up his name in a moment because we had posted that article about that.
Yeah,
and it's fascinating because Leicester, their strategy is not to, they're not fancy.
No, they're not pretty at all.
They're not pretty. They're not.
They're not like the chick who gets all dolled up and goes to the dance. They're like the chick in the pajamas who runs in and just starts giving hand jobs. Like, they're
what a weird visual. Just running in. Everybody, pants down now.
They don't yell. There's no need to yell and warn. They just run in and start giving hand jobs.
They just put their finger on your lips and shh.
And they're like, look, I know everyone else is getting all dolled up to score here. Hey, this chick just scored across the board here. You know, there's a line for the men's bathroom.
Weird
visual.
There was Noah Markowitz on Twitter. He had we were talking about that exact thing about
a girl running.
No, about the Leicester with a terrible passing percentage. It'd be a weird conversation to have on a soccer Twitter account.
Just random conversation.
But
who doesn't want to go to the school dance next time?
It is fascinating because Leicester's, I mean, their strategy is just play a strong defense. They're an incredibly strong defensive team, and it is counterattack. Their focus is just Mahrez to Vardy or Kante to Vardy.
Yeah,
Vardy is
and Okazaki is on the. It's like there's three Okazakis on the field.
They play with a great shape. They're incredibly organized.
They're more narrow when they go on the road.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I like about them is that they're not really parking the bus.
No.
And then attack because they put high pressure on a little bit further behind where you know teams like Klopp's old, you know, gegenpressing would be where it's like, you know, put pressure on across the board. They like to put pressure on you as soon as you cross that half point line. So it's not really parking the bus because they're attacking so that they can move forward. You know what I mean? They're attacking so that they can bring the ball forward. And boy, do they. I mean, boy, do they. And they do it so fast.
Every week we're always talking about, oh, can they do it again? Can they do it again? This was a good marker for them. Manchester City is not you. They don't.
No. Torrey looked like he was running around with concrete boots on.
They don't. It's difficult to make Manchester City look
more like nah, Torrey. Huh? Nah, I'm not playing. It's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's pretty bad, actually.
We'll edit that out. No, we won't. Let it sit right there.
It's difficult to make Manchester City look this bad, you know, and basically to shut out Aguero.
Yeah.
He really didn't do much. He didn't take that many shots. He got a goal in the end. And that goal. What I really loved about when that goal went in, when Manchester City scored, is how upset Leicester was. Yeah. They were really, really angry.
Yeah, I mean, the fans were chanting for a clean sheet. They wanted that clean sheet.
And that says a lot about the team because it's like, you know, to some degree, everybody sort of thinks like, you be happy you're even winning.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that you're even here.
Yeah, you're up three. Let them get one
but
more.
They're, yeah. The standard for, they set a standard for themselves that's much higher than, we see them as this Cinderella story.
Right.
But they're like, no, we need to get good results and we need to stay consistent. So they were actually very, very upset that they let that goal in.
And the other thing is that they play every minute like they're, like it's nil-nil.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're down by one or two, they just want to score. And then as soon as they score, it's like it didn't happen. They want to score. They want to be the first to score at every turn. And there's something, as an Arsenal fan, and watching, you know, my team sort of take the foot off the gas, pretty consistently when we go up, it's kind of, part of it is endearing, and the other part of it is very frustrating, because you're like, why can't other teams play this way? These guys, I mean, Vardy just signed a new deal. It's £80,000 a week. That's not that great of a deal for a guy who's scoring as much as he is.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show where he came from, you mm-hmm. know? And, I mean, 5 years ago, yeah, we've heard the story a million times. 5 years ago, he's playing non-league football. You know, how much was he making a year ago? He, you know, if the team didn't go on that amazing run, they would have been League One. You know, they would have been relegated out of the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are. They're now the favorite to win the Premier League. I mean, that's what are we talking about? How is this possible?
It's incredible. And the
year that City doesn't look like they can win, Chelsea is near the relegation zone than they are the top four. Man United is out of the top four. Liverpool looks confused and they just fired their manager. The year when everyone else is out of Arsenal's way. Here comes, you know, someone running in to give hands.
And also just Tottenham sitting comfortably in second. That's incredible. Look, the the odds, it's like the Hunger Games. May the odds be in your favor. I mean, they have a very good chance. Their schedule is really not that tough the rest of the year. And also,
they don't play any other matches.
Manchester City and Arsenal are going to be in Champions League duels. They on ESPN FC, they have I saw the potential for how many matches they could play by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Leicester has 16 matches. That is the total amount of matches they will be able to play. But Arsenal and Man City can play up to 28 if they do well in the Champions League. So they're gonna. It's going to be very, very difficult to compete with rested Leicester players.
Yeah,
to win the title.
And I've said it on this podcast before. I would have been fine if Arsenal would have been bounced out in the group stages of the Champions League, so we can rest our players. I would have been fine with it. But here we are, and now here we are.
It really shows how dumb the Champions League is, but it. It's obviously a very it like as an American sports fan, you couldn't even imagine if in the NBA in the final 2 months of the season that the top eight teams were also playing in some other tournament in the middle of trying to win an NBA title.
Right, the Knicks are playing some MBDL league. Okay, all right, Kirby. Can one of my teams win something?
Derek Fisher got fired.
Thank you.
Gonna go spend time with Matt Barnes' wife, so he'll be fine. Yeah,
now he can fight Matt Barnes, finally. Look, guys, there's a couple of things we can talk about. Well, I say what we go to is what may now be my new favorite segment or break segment of all time.
Yeah.
We have a friend, Jamel Johnson, who is...
So this is... Let's preface this a little bit, because...
How do you explain this?
It's difficult to explain, but this guy is great.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Super, super funny.
Great comic.
Some of you might find his language a little coarse.
Yeah, maybe.
Just a tad.
He may be saying some things you might not want to hear.
But we want to put him on the show because he is just great and he is hilarious.
Right.
And he has real insight and unique perspectives on the game of soccer that, you know, not all of us have the luxury of sort of explaining it the way he does.
Right. And I'm gonna wait to plug his Twitter at the end.
Yes.
I will say that if you want to hear his non-soccer insights, you can go to @nonprofitcomic on Twitter. Jamel, really funny guy. If you want to hear his soccer insights, he'll explain that as soon as we click over to his segment. Sound good, everyone?
All right.
If you have kids in the car, if you have kids in the car that listen to hip hop, you'll be fine. If you have kids in the car who don't know who Future is, who don't know who Migos is, they may either you want to earmuff them or here comes the beginning of you now having to set up a couple Spotify playlists with some Atlanta hip hop, because here comes the voice of my favorite voice in DC comedy, just moved to LA. Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, Nonprofit Comic, here's Jamel. Listen in.
Yo, it's your boy Jamel at Soccer Niggas on Twitter, man. Watching some Premier League this past week. Peace to Jamie Vardy with the Mario Strikers volley. It's very nice, very wet. Leicester City still in first by 5 points. I love it, dog. I love that shit. Like, I love watching bad sitcoms. Because 1 year, if they gave Homeboys in Outer Space 5 seasons, they would have went platinum too. They would have got some Emmys too, you feel me? So I just love to see mid-table niggas getting their just due. You know what I'm saying? West Ham getting it done. They had 2 goals in a victory. They also showed Russell Brand 12,000 times on the goddamn camera. What else I got popping? Oh, Memphis Depay, my guy. Made it official with Steve Harvey's daughter. Unreal. You cannot beat that. I like to think it's because he's a Steve Harvey Show fan. Refer to the first bit, you know what I'm saying? So hit your boy at Soccer Niggas, you know what I'm saying? Also, just watch the Steve Harvey Show season 2. Peace.
And that was Jamel.
That was Jamel.
Boy, wasn't it. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at Soccer Niggas.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, boy.
Great account. Great. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, besides everything we say every week.
That, I mean, there's something about sort of injecting, you know, hip-hop culture, language.
Right.
Into
something that normally doesn't have
into
it.
Into soccer, especially.
Yeah.
And that's great. And
has anyone else ever called Jamie Vardy's shot wet? You know?
That was amazing.
I said that once about an audience. Like, there was an audience that was like so hot. You know, like you went out there and said anything, they started laughing. You know?
Yeah.
It was great. Every comic couldn't wait to get up. And I walked off and one comic was like, they're good? I'm like, the wet. And then he was like, ew. And everyone in the room was like, ugh. And I was like, all right, yeah, but it works. Like, yeah, if you knew, if this was a hood room, I'd be getting high fives right now.
But that, what I like, just love about that is like, look, one of the reasons we started doing this show was to really give that that American fandom of soccer, give it a real identity, give
and
it that
unique perspective that we bring.
Yeah, that just New York, you know, like just real.
Yeah, this is that concrete jungle where soccer goals are scored.
so that's a cool thing here. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, and I, dude, as soon as I, you know, his Twitter account is that. Mm-hmm. So if you go to, you know,
why are you uncomfortable saying it?
Just because I know there's parents right now that are like, is it over? And then it's not. It's still not over. I'm not uncomfortable saying it again. You know, street view where I'm from and you'll be all right. But listen, Jamel, hilarious comic, moved out to LA. I begged him to move to New York. And if you follow him on Twitter, you can see a picture of him rocking a Sunderland jersey with the Invest in Africa sponsor on the front on stage. The dude is a serious, serious fan, and very happy to have him as a part of the podcast. And we're going to be getting a lot of segments from him. I can feel it. I can feel the groundswell of support he's going to have.
Yeah, here. Yeah. The Cooligans fans are already like, give us a little more, please.
Yeah, just
a little more.
Wait till the next segment.
Wait till the next segment.
Because he likes to call our hotline when he's imbibing. I'll say it that way. When he's out enjoying himself, he's like, hey, let me call this number and just speak into the phone. So wait till the next segment. But we were talking a little Premier League. There was one big thing that we forgot to talk about that I kind of want to bring up. You know, and again, happy that it's neither of our clubs.
Yeah.
But yeah, Liverpool fans are not very happy right now.
Liverpool fans, I've staged a massive walkout in protest over ticket prices.
Manchester City fans didn't recognize the difference because they're used to seeing empty seats. They're like, yeah, what? That the head's supposed to be empty. Not bad, right? It's a good burn. It's a good burn. Pretty happy about it.
So, you know, especially watching this on television, it's you know, every, especially in the Premier League, almost, you know, every stadium is pretty much full, and the fandom is incredible, and the support is loud,
and it's nonstop. I mean, you know, also the most heavily attended second league in the world, you know, the Championship.
That's right.
That, you know, soccer fandom is a serious thing in England.
So this was quite you know, jarring to just even see thousands and you know, very much thousands of fans walking out in the middle of the match in the 77th minute, just walking out. And it's just a wild thing to even see in a Premier League match.
And if you wonder to yourself, how much do the fans, because, you know, soccer fandom is very different than everyone else. You know, you sing, you chant, you really sort of, you know, especially, I mean, maybe more in South America, but like, there's a sense that the fans sort of dictate some of the energy on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, you feel it. You could feel it in the stands. I mean, there was a very famous match in Istanbul, and I can't remember the team they were playing. AC Milan, if I'm not mistaken. And this was Stevie Gerrard's, one of his highlight matches. They still call it the Miracle in Turkey or the Miracle in Istanbul.
Yeah, Champions League final.
And they were down 3-0, if I'm not mistaken, to AC Milan, and they made a comeback. But right before the comeback started, the away fans, and there was a huge contingent of away Liverpool fans, they started singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," but like in a very different energy.
Okay.
They sang it, and someone said in a movie or something, quoted as saying it sounded more like a prayer. But the truth is, it was like a lot of, normally it's sung as like a welcoming on the pitch, but this was sung with like an energy, like, we're here, you know, don't give up. And they ended up winning. They ended up winning in extra time, if I'm not mistaken. And it was, or maybe like last second, whatever it was super exciting, mm-hmm. you know, in one of those matches that sticks out. So how much do the fans really mean? We know they can lift the team, and if they walk out, apparently it's enough to lose.
Yes, yeah, so
or to lose points, drop points.
Yeah. So as soon as they left,
they were up 2-0.
They were up 2-0 against Sunderland. They pretty much had the game locked.
But, yeah, 77th minute. So that means what? There's 13 minutes left in the match before extra time.
And just a few moments after the fans started leaving, they conceded a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And a few minutes after that, they conceded another.
Yeah.
So they ended up in a 2-2 draw. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, fans can protest and you'd be like, okay, look, they're mad, but they'll get over it.
Yeah.
Not really going to have that much of an effect. We're going to do what we want to do. And at the end of the day, they're probably still going to, they're not going to do much about the ticket prices.
Right. They're still going to come and who's going to not show up, blah, blah, blah.
But what a great statement. And how successful was it?
The follow through is to be envied because, you know, as NYCFC fans have been upset in the past, and I'm only speaking of this because we're close to it, so not to deter from any other teams. I know other teams have done other things in the MLS. Specifically, NYCFC fans had complained about Yankee Stadium security being a bit rough,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to figure out on the boards different ways of doing it. One of them was blacking out the concession stands completely. So no one buys, no one in the supporter section buy anything from the concessions for an entire match.
Okay.
Because they still wanted to go to, like, everyone's like, yeah, no, we want to do the walkout, but we still kind of want to be at the match. So yeah. We just won't buy anything. Everyone brings their own food. They have to allow you in with your own food.
That's right.
So no one buys. So there's other things. I mean, here, these are guys that are putting their money right on the line. They're walking out, and it's because of the ticket prices going up.
Yeah, so that was the specific statement, because the ticket prices are going up to £77.
Next year.
So they left in the 77th minute.
Yeah.
And so, look, I mean, it's so, there was a...
Why would the prices go up? They're going to get so much money next year.
It doesn't, you know,
TV deal is what, 5 points? Everyone's saying 6 billion is the number everyone uses, but that's rounding up.
Yeah, so it's 5.14 billion.
Billion.
Billion. So you're when it comes to you know, that extra change under the couch, you don't need to look for it. You're gonna be fine.
Yeah, no. If you were wondering, should you get the sunroof? The answer is get four. you know what? Just get a sunroof. Ride around on a bike with a sunroof. You can do whatever you want now.
So raising the ticket prices,
it seems stupid,
especially when there is a huge influx of money that's going to be coming in. If as a fan, you're like, come on, dude.
Like, that's like if your buddy wins the lottery and he hasn't collected the money yet, but he won the lottery and he was like, hey, remember that $5 I borrowed and lent you? Do you really need it?
Do you really? Yeah,
you just won the lottery.
Exactly. I mean, on principle, I get that I should pay you back.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're doing fine.
Right. Wait till you see the Venmo caption I leave. You know, just wait till you see it.
The emojis are gonna be brutal.
Yeah. You're gonna get roasted. I mean, it's kind of like you know, I feel like it's not necessary for them to raise the price. But then again, look. And this is where I'm a bit apologetic when it comes to business, because they're running a business and, you know, they spend a lot of money on players and they're not doing that well. And I know they're thinking they have to buy some players. And look, you know, you have a lot of fans that are going
to
be coming
through. I mean, you do have to pay Daniel Sturridge quite a bit to sit on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, look, he can't sit there and buy nice things while he's injured if you don't pay him his money. So he needs things. And, you know, look, they get a ton of money from New Balance as being their shirt sponsor now. Mm-hmm. They left Warrior. Warrior paid him a grip. That was the one that was like two seasons previous, back when Luis Suarez was on there. I mean, look, they're making money left and right. And what I don't like is that the fans look at it and go, oh, this is American owners trying to finance, you know, the Red Sox, because they're owned by the Red Sox. They're owned by LeBron James as well, by the way.
I didn't know that.
You know, NESN owns them. So whatever, the Henry, I think is the guy's last name. Is this Henry just trying to finance the baseball team and, you know, through our seats, and we're supporters, not customers, and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. I believe you're 100% right. Now, look, I don't see the books, but I can tell you the worst time to raise prices is when everyone knows there's this massive amount of money coming in. Like, how bad were you with money? You know what I mean? That you not only, the amount of money coming in isn't going to support anything. Now, if you were to sit there and tell the fans, like, look, we have our eyes on a certain player, we can get more than that if we raise prices by a little bit, and no one's going to be happy about it, but I think they wouldn't have walked out. So I want to hear what their reasoning for it is. And also, I, you know, they're still going to do this conference call or a Q&A session, which sounds so stupid. You know, if you do it behind bulletproof glass, or at least stab-proof vests. You know, I mean, you know, this
just
is
Kevlar all over, just with those suits that the dog trainer guys when they're training police dogs.
They got like the window in the front. They can't put their arms down. We'll take another question from the whole body shifts over to point. Hilarious. Yeah, just people just stabbing them. They just don't even move.
Use your words.
Yeah. I mean, sir, you see it's not penetrating the suit.
Why are you keep trying? Yeah. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, I mean, your arm is going to hurt. You're suing me for hurting your arm? Yeah, I think it's stupid, and I'm proud of the fans.
Yeah,
for walking
good on them for, like, you know, really taking a stand, and you know, there was a clear punishment that, you know, you probably could have gotten a win if there wasn't this distracting thousands of people leaving and making a statement while you're in the middle of a match.
And the other thing I'll say is you know, is the honeymoon over with Jurgen Klopp? It seems like it.
I don't think he's. Look, they're not doing terribly. They should be doing better, but they don't really have. He hasn't really made the addition to the squad that it's not his team.
It's not his team.
Brendan Rodgers' team, and he's trying to do his best. Sturridge is gone. I mean, they don't really have any dominant striker. And this is, you know, for the rest of the season, this is what the results are going to look like. Just kind of underachieving.
I mean, where do you go from there? That's tough. You know, if you're and part of it is probably the frustration of the Liverpool fans for the season they're having anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when Brendan Rodgers was hired, he's a joke now, a lot like Moyes. But when Moyes was hired, you know, he was great for Everton. The Everton fans loved him. You know, he was one of those very consistent managers that he got a lot more out of, you know, a team that people thought were of a lower quality. You know, Brendan Rodgers was the same thing over at Swansea. I mean, he looked great. Wouldn't have gotten the job if he didn't look great. You know, the stupid three envelopes thing in the you know, the documentary, whatever, or the reality show, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, he's listed as a joke, and I mean, they're frustrated across the board. Nothing's happening.
But meanwhile, in Liverpool, just a half a mile away in Everton, they're doing just fine.
The other side of Mersey.
Merseyside is, you know, Everton fans are quite happy. They're very supportive of their club. They feel like
how dumb their manager dances. Oh boy, that's embarrassing.
Look, it wasn't embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
He wasn't doing the dumbest dance in the world.
He was doing.
He's just an old guy dancing.
And his kid was next to him, right? Is that his kid? I hope that's his kid.
Oh, I don't know who it was.
There's someone next to him, and you could tell he's at the concert.
He's at a Jason Derulo concert.
Jason Derulo, Dominican, right?
Derulo, I don't know where he's from.
I think he is. Because then look at me. It's like 6 degrees of separation. You're much closer to Roberto Martinez now.
Jason Derulo is an American singer. He's from Florida. Let's look up his Wikipedia.
He could be Cuban. It looks like it's a very short clip. Someone Snapchatted, saw him at the concert, started dancing. There's a certain dance, something about hitting a drop.
Haitian parents, so Haitian. Very not Dominican.
Same island.
So Hispaniola.
Yeah. You're not happy to hear that, boy.
No, I'm not unhappy.
Look at how the Dominicans turn real quick when you mention that. Ooh.
I'm very vocal about
you're very pro Haiti.
I'm Dominican and I go to Dominican Republic often.
You don't even say YOLO, you say yay, like.
Text Wyclef every time.
He texts Wyclef. It costs $9 every time, but it's worth it.
It's much worth.
Why did he make it $10? It made no sense to go $9.
But I really can't stand the way Haitians are treated in Dominican Republic. It's
disgusting.
It's disgusting. I mean, you know, I don't want to go into a whole diatribe necessarily, but when you're there and you watch, I mean, and it's not like. You know, I've never seen like deliberate like violence or anything.
There's videos of it, but you've never seen it.
I've never seen it in person, but in general, just blatant disrespect.
Yeah.
And it's taught very young. Like, you know, they'll be like 13, 14 year old kids being very disrespectful to like adult Haitians.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to see. And it's one of the most embarrassing things I feel about like that country.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a whole lot you can.
But anyway.
Right. But
Roberto Martinez.
So Roberto Martinez is at a Jason Derulo concert. There's a younger boy next to him. I don't know. I it's probably not an academy player, but it could be. Maybe it was like a night out.
Okay.
But I have a feeling it's his son, and his son seems like he knows the dances a lot better than dad. But he also seems like he's enjoying himself. And it's at the end of the day, he's kind of, if this is his kid, he's being a cool dad. You know, you're taking your kid to the concert.
Exactly. Yeah. And he can sort of be a part of that experience, right, with his family.
And he's a Martinez. And he can dance.
He's perfectly fine. I thought he handled himself quite well.
Yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't a Mark Anthony concert. He's out there. Bam, 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 bam.
The thing I took from that video of Roberto Martinez dancing is, go to more Jason Derulo concerts, man. We got a two-game winning. We got an FA Cup, two Premier League, yeah, clean sheets.
Get Jason Derulo. Get him at Goodison, baby.
Yeah, I'm getting a Jason Derulo tattoo as we speak. Whatever. Like, it was pretty fun and silly.
Embarrassing if you're a manager. You can't be caught dancing. You know, like, Sir Alex Ferguson wouldn't be caught dancing, you know?
I don't know. I'm not, I don't feel the same way. You know, there's not many Spanish managers
in the Premier League.
Yeah. So, look, have a little flavor, a little style, you know?
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. I'm on board.
Yeah, he does have a little, it certainly has a lot more seasoning. He has a little bit more adobo than your adobo. I could see Arsene Wenger out there at an opera, just kind of. Kind of shaking his shoulders a little bit. I think that's the most he can get. Just really
a little shimmy.
Just getting a little bit into it, you know? Arsene Wenger is like, that's my favorite part. This is where she kills her husband. And they watch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see him at a Jason Derulo concert.
That'd be fascinating.
It's like, you know, if
Arsene Wenger twerking.
Yeah. God, imagine we're all like, he's really good at this. Imagine
where did he learn?
I mean, my God,
how to do this?
He arches his back, boy.
What is El Nene teaching you?
He is dangerous for a man your age to be this good. Your Instagram account, I do want to follow it. It goes down in the DMs.
The other news out of Everton, a strong possibility, seeming that like there's a groundswell of rumors that Tim Howard might be leaving Everton and coming back to the MLS.
Benched? I mean, look, he's not playing all that great.
He's not playing. I mean, look, I blame mostly John Stones. for Howard's mistakes.
Right? How dare you make that American leave? I'll say this: I can't imagine why an MLS team even wants him. You know, I mean, what are you going to do with a 36-year-old keeper? You know.
I mean, I don't know. As a keeper, you know, they can play a little longer than other positions. Josh Saunders, I think, is like 34, 35.
I get it. But like, you're not paying Josh Saunders where you'd have to pay Tim Howard. Tim Howard is a national team.
Yeah.
You know,
he's probably going to be a DP.
That's what I'm saying. A DP keeper seems like the dumbest move.
Yeah.
You know, use your DPs for, players that can affect the positive scoring versus stopping. You know, I mean, you can get a good, there's great keepers in the MLS. You can get a great keeper.
But that is, that's the knock on MLS usually, is that they spend all the money on up front on midfielders and strikers. But that's why their defense is lacking. And this is sort of the complaint that a lot of people have about the MLS and the rules that are in place, because it creates that sort of culture where we have terrible defenders. And then amazing strikers. So.
But the problem is that America builds great defenders. So it's almost like one of those things where like the only players we have in the
English... Are you saying that confidently? America builds great defenders?
Yeah. I mean, that's all we have.
I don't know about that.
Think about it. Like the first...
I mean, there's a couple.
The first American player to play in Serie A was Alexi Lalas, who was a defender. Jeff Cameron. Tim Ream went over to Europe. Miazga... just went.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
there's a couple,
but I'm saying, like, of all the things that we get sent over there, keepers and defenders are the best that we sort of
can
contribute is embarrassing.
At the very least, look, we're not always going to have world-class defenders. I understand that, but we should have average defenders. We can't even claim that. There's a lot of issues with defending in the MLS, mainly because the great defenders get plucked out and go to Europe.
I think the other part of it is also we don't train, or maybe we have started recently. If you look at everywhere else in the world that cares about defense, so stay away from South America. Mm-hmm. You know, Brazil is like, yeah, why? No, we have 11 strikers. One of them's allowed to use his hands. That's how we play.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, everyone else plays in a line, and we don't do that. We have four individual defenders, and we just hope that
that's right.
They don't break. Everywhere else, they play as a unit. So I think that that's one of the big issues we're finding.
Yeah, that is a thing, especially watching so many Premier League matches. It's like, yeah, that cohesiveness, that commitment to defense, which is... It just really isn't a thing I hear about in the MLS of like a defender becoming like a star and really getting publicity and getting interest and people really focusing on what they contribute to the game as opposed to
right.
Like I understand as a fan of NYCFC, if you're a fan of your local club, you're like, oh, I know this guy. He's great. I know, understand
right,
what he does.
Right.
But, you know, we know that they're not perfect, but we love them because they're on our team.
Yeah.
But as far as other defenders, I rarely look at other defenders on other squads and be like, man, that's a good defender. Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
But in Premier League, I can easily like, oh, there's a couple that I know right yeah. offhand. That I'm like, oh, those are good dudes. You know, like
speaking of our defenders, Miazga might be getting a shot at first team soccer right now.
Yeah, he is thanking you know the ACL god.
yeah. yeah. Someone got Nancy Kerrigan on the pitch.
What a mean thing to say.
Someone's knee got taken out.
So Kurt Zuma, I don't know if you saw the Chelsea.
You said ACL god. That's a little bit worse.
That means no, that's a rapper that I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a deity out there that's built to take out the player in front of you.
I don't know.
Oh, but I said his words.
Yours felt meaner. I don't know why.
I know, because I said it. Because you're everyone loves you. I'm the mean one. I don't know how.
So Kurt Zuma in the Chelsea Manchester United match, it was a 1-1 draw. Kurt Zuma, I don't want to use the word horrific. It was a very bad injury.
It was a horror to watch. I still haven't seen it, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's my 9/11. It's another 9/11.
We're from New York. We know exactly. We can make that comparison very willy-nilly.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But no, I saw it once. I really
and no one crushed into him. He landed badly. And Zuma was playing, you know, really, really great defensive soccer.
Great defender. Great.
Yeah.
Giant dude, strong,
huge,
great, always in the right position.
He's literally the exact opposite of Miazga, except for height.
Okay,
like he's a huge, very strong black dude. Miazga, very tall, thin, lanky white guy.
Yeah, he's more of a John Terry than a Kurt Zuma.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy. As far as like the style
Although,
of play,
Terry, I would agree. He reminds me a lot of like Gabriel on Arsenal.
Okay,
you know, tall, lanky, but strong in the air. Bit more red card prone, although you know Zuma was a little bit foul prone as well. So we'll see. We'll see if this gives him a chance.
He has a good chance of getting some playing time this season.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Let's see what old Gus wants to do.
A little goose, I think.
I hope he gets some playing time. They in the match they put in Gary Cahill, so maybe they don't feel just. Perfectly comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, Cahill has a lot more experience. Exactly. But we'll see. I mean, look, if, you know, Cahill starts to get gassed, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Terry's probably not coming back. So,
yeah.
It's a good sign.
Although now maybe you pay him what he wants now that Zuma's injured.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I mean.
But you Zuma will be back next season.
Miazga and Terry are both like, yes, when that happens. Yeah.
But it was pretty rough.
Rough. So listen, we're going to come back with our last segment, which is Kirby's Corner. But before we do that, we've got another drunken voicemail from Jamel.
Well, I don't know if the first one was drunken. Let's not claim that the first
one
was
Well, he was breathing heavy. I was like, what's he going upstairs? He's a big dude. Sit down when you do these things, man. I don't want you having a heart attack live on the air. He was breathing heavy. This one, he's not breathing as heavy.
Yeah.
He has his friend Donnie with him.
That's right.
So why don't we play
Donnie,
this?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg. Very big friends with Donnie Wahlberg.
You know, he was a new kid on the block.
Yeah, everyone knows that about Jamel. So listen into this. We got another segment from him. Again, at Nonprofit Comic. And if you do have kids in the car, like that lady who's told us. You're still a fan.
We really base all of our content on this one woman.
This one woman who listened all the way drive from Cleveland Cleveland or something like that, right? From Wisconsin or Ohio. They drove
to
New York
for the practice.
Because they went to go see family, and they wanted to come back in time for the practice.
Yeah.
And the kid made him listen to Cooligans in the car the whole time.
So we have this, like, built-in guilt now.
Every
show, we're like, oh, man, the kid, the mom.
The kid and the mom,
they're going to hear what he says.
This, like, poor little kid, who, by the way, probably is cursing up a storm on Snapchat right now. You know, his face looks like a cat, and he's putting nothing but four-letter swear words.
Yeah.
And here we are worried about this. But, hey, listen, whatever. At Soccer Niggas. That's it. On Twitter. Check him out. At Nonprofit Comic if you want to hear about his comedy stuff. He is hilarious. If you guys live in L.A. or if you're anywhere near the D.C. area, you got to go check him out. He's going to be in New York for a little bit, too. But listen to this, and then we'll be back with Kirby's Corner.
Hey, Cooligans, what's good, niggas? This is Soccer Niggas here. It's Jamel Johnson. I'm with my man Donnie. Say something, Donnie.
What's up, guys?
Nigga, look, you know what we're looking forward to next season? I'm looking forward to seeing Pirlo die on the field and then ascending straight to heaven like the goddamn angel he is, nigga. Yes, nigga! Sorry this one took so long to come to y'all, man. I'm drunk as shit. I'm in Baltimore, man. I flew out here just to go to Royal Farms, nigga. To have buy one, get one free sliders, nigga. So, you know what I'm saying? Just hit a nigga back or something. Also, if anybody has a Fox Sports 1 password they could give me, since I don't live with my parents, it's becoming harder to watch matches. Hey, Donnie, say something else.
You got to get the ball on the stage. Sorry, I have a stutter. That's a problem, but it's fine. I watched the Bundesliga 5. Werder Bremen is the best team. They suck, but I'm a big fan. Big fan of the people.
Hell yeah.
Kirby's Corner.
Kirby's Corner.
Kirby's Corner.
See, now it sounds like you're making fun of the dude who had the stutter just in the last segment.
No, I'm not.
You're getting mean, man. I like
no,
it.
No, that was just, you know.
Never seen the side of Christian.
I just do great impressions and voices and... I make a bunch of noises. I'm pretty talented.
This is going to be a fun segment. Not only are we recording this, and obviously this is the podcast, which if you guys are watching us on Periscope, we're Periscoping this as well. Thank you for tuning in live. We've got a bunch of fans watching in. Feel free to listen to this podcast. It's going to be up at soccercooligans.com. It's also on iTunes as The Cooligans. Sorry to plug everyone listening. You know already because you hit the button.
Yeah, but we have, these new fans are important to us too.
They are just as important. We like you guys better. They can't hear when we whisper. So it's only you guys. Listen, why we're here. First of all, thank you so much to Jamel and his buddy Donnie. And regardless of what Christian mocks you for, we're glad that you're a part of it. Once again, at Nonprofit Comic or at Soccer Niggas on Twitter. Really, really funny. Do you want to say the name of the Twitter, Kirby? No, you don't.
Do I want to? Yes. Can I? No.
No, you're from the Carolinas. You've learned a hard way that you can't. Yeah, big part of your history. Anyway, so
that's South Carolina. They were the first ones.
Were they?
Yeah, they were the first ones to
jump
ship.
Oh, but well, probably not the term you want to use. What we're talking about. thanks for staying with us. We got a question over there. What's the question?
What's the question?
Sorry, boys, got the wrong team. You guys are in New York. So, what you think of Patrick Vieira coaching?
Big fan. First of all, Kirby's Corner, first question comes in from someone over there.
Yeah.
On Periscope. Very big fan of Patrick Vieira. I'm also an Arsenal fan. So is Kirby.
Watch our video about Patrick Vieira coming to NYC.
I was just about to say, I think we're such big fans that we made a video. So if you go to YouTube, Soccer Cooligans on YouTube, we have a video explaining to everyone who's not a big fan of Patrick Vieira a little bit about him.
Why aren't you?
Yeah, I think you're a little bit you're a little confused.
He's a great dude, great coach. I think he's going to prove to be he's a very strict coach.
Yeah,
we know that. And he's treating this like this is not some trial to try to eventually get the Manchester City gig.
No, he's coming in here to win.
He's coming in here to win, so it's a good sign.
And check out Soccer Cooligan's Vine, because we retweeted one of their vines where he nutmegs one of the players, which is a lot of fun.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so listen, we're here at Kirby's Corner. Kirby's got some news for us.
Got some news.
What is top of the list, Kirby?
All right, so we're a football podcast.
Yes, we are.
Super Bowl just happened.
Yeah, different football.
Yeah, one of my favorite commercials from this year's Super Bowl was the Taco Bell Quesalupa commercial.
The Quesalupa, which if they didn't have a million other ways for you to die.
Yep.
Quesalupa.
What would that be? A million ways to die in the
choose
Big
one.
West?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of a rap song. But anyway, this is where you and I divide.
Well, good movie though. A Million Ways to Die in the West. Yeah, yeah. Well, I liked it.
But yeah, it was in the ad. They have a lot of people going. So this is going to be the biggest thing since blah blah blah. One of them says it's going to be the biggest thing since football. Cut to a kicker about to take a field goal. Pans over a soccer ball, and it's Neymar. That's and he right. says, the real football.
Oh.
In a very terrible English accent. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Those are the only words he knows in English. The real football.
And someone in Kansas lost their shit.
Yeah, I'm sure. Please, listen. This is... You want to really... I mean, we were talking about before, what if I wore a soccer jersey? Seeing a soccer player say, the real football. I mean, that must have... I mean, Trump. He's building a wall. You know?
But this has been a big deal, especially in the last few years, ever since the NFL has been dealing with a lot of concussion and all the injuries.
Right. And as soccer becomes more popular.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, parents are becoming a little bit more hesitant and generally afraid of having their children play football at a young age because they're worried.
Send them to soccer, baby.
And that's where they're going to go. So it's only, you know, St. Louis just lost their NFL team. They're going to Los Angeles because there is no loyalty. It's all about the Bills, Bills, Bills.
Right.
As Destiny's Child.
Buffalo. They were singing about Buffalo Bills. Most people don't know that.
So St. Louis looks like a very strong candidate to have an MLS team. And they're already on the search for a stadium and you know, sorting all that out.
And in the 1930 U.S. team that finished third in the World Cup, the first World Cup ever, mm-hmm. most of the players came from St. Louis. So St. Louis has a very strong soccer history.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can round that back out by giving them a team that everyone can get behind.
So
what else is up there, Kirby?
What's next, man? Continue. Forgive me.
All right, so the 2022 World Cup for now is going to be in Qatar, and one of the biggest sponsors of FIFA is Budweiser. So they need a place for fans to drink in public, and they have...
You mean Peyton Manning's Budweiser that he keeps constantly?
Yeah, he would not stop talking about.
You know, I don't really cut off the story, but how ridiculous was that?
Yeah. Also, he's the worst. I mean, he didn't.
That was more. Honestly,
he wasn't even paid to do it.
He wasn't paid to do it. It was also more like insulting, I thought, to the game than what Cam Newton did after, you know, sort of leaving the press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. He showed more.
It looked gross.
He also showed less emotion saying Budweiser than Eli did when he won. Eli with the cold, dead stare of a murderer. He's like, I'm going to kiss my wife and kids and pray to God. No, pray to the man upstairs. He didn't say God. And he goes, and I'm going to go drink some Budweiser. That's what I'm going to do.
How upset did Eli look watching his brother win the Super Bowl?
It was the face you make when you realize your brother is the favorite again.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. He not this Super Bowl MVP. And Eli Manning was still Super Bowl MVP
twice. That's right.
Twice.
I put out a tweet that said, Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. Peyton Manning won one Super Bowl and watched his defense win the other.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Team Eli.
So, go ahead. What were you saying?
So, Qatar. We're back to Qatar. Sorry. Back to Qatar. They're going to set up special courts to deal with the number of potential offenses that they're going to have during the 2022 World Cup. It's something they did in South Africa in 2010. And that John Oliver did a piece on this.
That's right.
Very famous.
The set up courts. And they're doing it again.
Yeah.
You would think that FIFA would learn.
FIFA would learn? Because I think
you would hope FIFA would learn.
Everyone in this room is readily aware that FIFA will not learn anything, will not do anything. No. Unless it's the way they want to do it. So, but what are these courts for? Just for people drinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be for people drinking. It's going to be outside of the areas that they stipulate where you can drink. And also, just in addition, they're going to be the courts for the people that are not citizens of Qatar. So basically, all the tourists are going to have to go to these courts.
So this is basically what the Philadelphia Eagles do. You know how the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a
court. Wait, it's not a judicial court.
Or is it just that they commit murder? It's just capital punishment. Yeah. It's not really like a trial. Yeah. But you will.
What am I in line for? To get caned. Yeah. I'm gonna get caned.
But the Philadelphia Eagles have like a
they have a jail.
They have
a court,
jail. Yeah. They have a court. So they process you pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because Philadelphia.
It's Philadelphia. There's a judge underneath the Eagles stadium where the Link, I believe, they play. So if you get arrested during the game, which happens a lot, they try you immediately.
Yeah, which
you could be out of jail by the fourth quarter. Go back upstairs. I mean,
it's great that there's such due process that's so efficient.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. But it seems like this seems almost like something that has to be done with such a. Big tournament.
Is there anything about the Qatari World Cup that's a positive? Is there anything at all?
The fact that it's still happening, I guess?
That's not a positive. That's a negative.
The fact that a World Cup is still happening.
Okay. Yeah, the fact that teams will play. And again, I will once again say...
In December.
Yeah, I hope Ireland doesn't qualify because their fans will actively be dying in the stands.
Yeah.
They might combust in the airplane as soon as the heat. They're not built for that.
Yeah.
What else is going on in the world, Kirby?
Jermaine Defoe, the striker for Sunderland, formerly of Toronto FC.
Formerly of Toronto for our fans in Canada.
Periscope. He said that Leicester's story is unbelievable, which it is. Then he went on to say that Sunderland has such a strong squad... Why can't they be in Leicester's position?
I mean, probably because you don't have as strong a squad. But I agree. Look, Jermaine Defoe's he's a scorer. You know, he's a gunner. He's Bubba Chuck, if you want, which was Allen Iverson's old nickname. I mean, he was. The guy scores. That's what he did when he was with Toronto. Mm-hmm. And people said, he was retiring when he went to the MLS. He's going to retire when he goes back to. England, and then he goes to Sunderland, and he's been pretty good. I mean, he hasn't been great, but the guy, what he does is he gets buckets. You know what I mean? The guy gets goals.
Yeah, he scored. He scored this weekend.
Is he as good as Jamie Vardy? Probably not. He's obviously a lot older, and he's still fast. He's still good with his feet. With a better squad, you could be. Anyone could be. Leicester City. No one thought who's going to be Leicester City. So Defoe. Get a better squad. Let Yedlin play.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's Yedlin holding them back. I have no idea what's
it. I think Defoe's holding Yedlin back now that I hear this, and I'm very upset as an American.
Every time I watch Sunderland play and I watch DeAndre Yedlin play, he's a USMNT player, and I want to see him do well, but he just does not look comfortable there. I don't know. I don't know if it's Sunderland. I don't know if it's a specific thing to the league or to the squad that he's on. I don't see a confident player when I watch him play.
So I agree.
There's plenty of reasons why Sunderland will not be Leicester City, they're currently now. we can list them.
I suggest you try to be Stoke. I mean,
just try to stay in the league. Homie. Try to stay in the league. How about that?
Exactly.
Jeez. No one be Aston Villa. Let's do that. What else we got?
All right. You want to go to Romania or France? It's up to you.
I mean, if I had a choice, probably France.
Probably France, yeah.
All right, so let's go to Romania.
Kirby curveball.
Kirby curveball.
Wait, is he being offensive now? Who's being offensive?
Nah, you're still the mean one today.
I was just rude.
Yeah.
There's a difference between mean and rude.
Okay, that makes sense.
Kirby being Kirby.
Yeah. So, you guys use LinkedIn.
I mean, I don't anymore.
I don't have one, but I know what it is. It's like a social network for your resume, basically. Right.
I've used it, and I got it completely infuriated with all the emails.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I stopped.
Yeah.
And it's,
riveting.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Classic LinkedIn. Well, did you know that it is possible for a football player to get signed over LinkedIn?
What, as an insurance salesman?
Do what exactly?
Yeah.
He was a defender. They needed...
This is the story. The right back.
Yeah, the right back. The coach of NK Domžale, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that.
You probably are.
Yeah, I am. Luka Elsner said they needed, quote, a very offensive right back, which I choose to believe means
just
makes
some
people
guy.
Mad.
Yeah. Just walks in yelling the N-word.
They just look through his blog posts and they're like, this guy would be a good defender.
Yeah. He's got things to say. He's a men's right activist. Let's bring him in.
His Reddit resume looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's taking down every nationality.
Mrs. Christian was talking about rape earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my fault.
No,
everyone
on the Periscope.
I'm in the wrong fantasy football league.
Everyone in the Periscope was like, he was talking, doing what?
Well, that's incredible.
So they found a right back on LinkedIn.
Found the right back on LinkedIn. He played for Toulouse in the French league at the time, so I kind of brought it back around.
Very nice.
And they watched some footage on him, and they're like, well, this guy seems like the player we need. So they signed him.
That's great news. I mean,
what a fascinating, like, what, look, the scouts are just finding new ways to
stay on the couch.
Eventually it's going to be like, let's see if we can find, you know, a midfielder on Tinder, just swiping through.
Ooh, no. Nice legs. Swipe right.
Well, look at those calves.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. With eyes like that, he should be starting.
I mean, I'm sure that's how Arsenal found Giroud.
Yeah, I mean, look,
without a doubt.
I mean, that's how I found him.
I think they found him on Black Planet for some reason.
Yeah. He was on mehenta.com.
Like, why is Giroud on? I don't know. It works.
Let's sign him.
Alexis Sanchez found him. We just.
Probably. Anyway. Rumors. Not facts.
I hope they're all true.
Facts.
Go ahead. What else?
Oh, you want to go back to France?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So the French league is very tight right now. If you discount PSG, who is at the top, that has 69 points, and Troyes at the bottom, who has 11.
You said 69 and Troyes. I was like, what is he saying?
Did he say twat? What was he?
Yeah. Troyes.
Troyes.
All right. I'm working with children.
I don't know the French leagues. I don't know.
That poor boy and his mother driving from Wisconsin.
We're terrible.
I tried to keep it clean for you.
Yeah.
Nice in third place with 39 points, and Toulouse in 19th with 21 points, 18 points separating top and bottom. They're fighting for basically third. It is one of the most exciting leagues in the world right now, if you discount the fact that PSG has already won.
I mean, look, this is what PSG wanted, right?
How many points does PSG currently have?
69.
Mm. You just wanted me to say that again.
Say it slower this time.
Yeah. 69. Let's check out that Tinder profile.
It's
they're running away with the league, and that's but they have a chance to go undefeated.
It's kind of not embarrassing, but it's not particularly fun to watch. They're incredibly dominant.
Yeah.
And I don't see the
it's the Bayern Munich effect.
But it's way worse.
It is worse. Yeah. Sure.
They humiliate the competition.
They're not even trying half the time.
And As a fan of any league, like, why watch? I mean, that's really the question. Why if the marketing director for League One is like, hey, you should watch the French league. Why would I watch this?
Yeah,
I mean, I can watch one team just dominate every other one. But why would I watch any other game besides?
Well, discounting PSG, it's a very solid league. You like Lyon, who got, I think, second last year. They're currently in sixth. They've had a Chelsea, not as bad as Chelsea, but a Chelsea-esque fall from grace.
Right.
Bordeaux, Marseille, who has been traditionally very good, horrible the last couple years, is right in the middle of the table trying to make their way up. Monaco kind of clinched the second spot right now. If you discount PSG, anyone else can get into Europe right now, and anyone else can be relegated. And I think that's extremely exciting.
Maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe that's
I'm more a fan of lack of certainty. You know, I like not knowing.
Have you seen the cup? If you want to call it, it's actually a plate. It's like a really. It looks like a
the German.
No, for the Ligue 1. For the French league.
Ligue 1.
It looks like a logo for like a wrench company. It's very odd. Yeah. Okay. It's got like a
AutoZone.
Like it does. It looks like if the new Uber logo was designed by the AutoZone people, that's what it would look like. It's very ugly, the French League Cup.
Also the Uber logo makes, I don't even get it.
It's terrible.
It's a terrible logo.
Yeah, it looks like an old phone plug, you know?
Okay. Like an RJ11 jack.
Is that what it was?
That's what it is.
Oh my god. Surrounded by nerds, everyone.
I have no idea what that is. Yeah.
It's what the phone jack it looks like.
Gotcha.
Called the RJ11. RJ45s are Ethernet cables.
I prefer the RJ Allen, to be honest.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
That was nice.
Anything else happening in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say one more thing. Happy Lunar New Year. Happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
You're
well,
the
it's
monkey.
About time someone said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Gosh. Insensitive fucks. Wow.
Kirby going off the deep end.
Happy Valentine's Day. I like to add
yeah,
that.
That's going to be this weekend, right?
Yeah.
It's
Valentine's Day. It's my girlfriend's birthday. And it's also our 3-year anniversary, all 6 days apart. So
really?
it's the worst time I've
ever had.
And tax season. You're getting crushed financially right now.
It is. I'm going to be living out of a box. Yeah. I have zero money. Please send money.
Yeah. Yeah. We should do a GoFundMe. Everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
I could use an extra $6 because we're not going to get a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that was Kirby's Corner. Anything else? Anything else popping up?
No.
Periscope, anything? You
Periscope,
guys have any questions?
Periscope, we got two people in there still.
Two people. We love you.
Thanks for...
We just started the account.
Yeah, literally right now.
This is our
first stream.
So thank you so much for watching in, those two folks.
Yeah, you guys. You guys were... They were about total of maybe 10, and they were like, we're done.
Oh, they're not talking to us? Yeah, then we're out of here.
But we'll do some more Periscope stuff in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Follow us on there if you're listening.
You know, Jamel, thank you so much for helping us out, if you will.
The best.
Giving us, I mean, Christian and I like to look at ourselves as like a bit of like bringing in some new age ideas and some new age vernacular to the sport of soccer, but we're trying to bridge that gap. You have gone all the way on the other side of the bridge, Mr. Johnson, and I love you for it every second of the day. As soon as I said, hey, I think you'd be good for that, he was like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
And you call Jamie Vardy strike wet. So already I'm a big fan.
Exactly.
Kirby, anything coming up? Anything you want to plug? You made your own microphone. Anything else?
I mean, I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, as you should be. Polanco, anything?
I'm going to... My show every Wednesday in Park Slope, Knockin' Boots. It's at Two Boots Pizza every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Please come to that if you are in the tri-state area.
Nice. And I think I'm going to be there pretty soon, right? Didn't you send me a text?
I asked you last time and you didn't want to come by.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. All right. We'll talk about it off microphone.
You were like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Christian.
Mommy and daddy, don't fight.
Yeah.
No, I think I had something else going on that night. Staring at my television. No, I'm kidding. There was a good reason why I didn't go. But anyway, I have the show on Sundays at the Standing Room, which is completely free if you guys want to check that out. I also got some awesome dates coming up. Might be planning a little trip to North Carolina. So I'll hit you up before I go out there to go do the Comedy Zone out there. Looking forward to that. A couple things coming up. Again, everything for me you could check and find on my website, alexisguerreros.com.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Polanco, and you can go on my website, christianpolanco.com, for any comedy info.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheKirbyT, also on YouTube, same name, TheKirbyT.
Very nice.
And watch our most recent video for it is on Hudson River Blue. You can find it there. We are contributors for Hudson River Blue now.
That's it, baby.
Which is NYCFC.
SB Nation.
SB Nation, a sports blog. And it's great. So we're happy to be putting our stuff on there. And we made a video welcoming Jack Harrison to NYCFC. If you don't know,
he saw,
yeah. Which is so cool.
And he liked.
And he did click like on it. So he was the first pick in the MLS Super Draft. So that's super exciting to, you know, make something like that. And the fact that he got to see it. So that was cool.
A lot of moves. And if you want to keep up on any updated soccer news, make sure you follow our Twitter. We're posting news updates as soon as we get them on there. And you can also go to our website and just click on the news ticker. And you get all of the top 10 most updated news bits for soccer today all over the world, including tactics and even Mad Techers videos. We got it all. So whatever you need, soccercooligans.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Goodbye, guys.
Who are they listening to right now?
Cool.
The Soccer Cooligans.
Kirby's Corner.